We're thankful for the blessings of the Lord. Truly, the Lord has done great things for us. Whereof we're glad. We want to praise the Lord. I'm thankful for this church and for this conference, and we want to take this time, and then we'll get right into the message. But we want to, on the behalf of the Grace Missionary Baptist Church in Warren, Michigan, to invite you to come to the Thanksgiving Conference. It'll be held to Thanksgiving week, beginning on Monday night. The first services will be at our church, and then the last 2 days of the service will be at the 12 Ryan Baptist Church. We're looking for a great time. We enjoy these conferences, and you come and be with us. I don't guess it would hurt to brag just a little bit this morning. You know, Paul got forced into it a time or two. And the Grace Church, and of course you have too, this church here has been accused of being a hard shell Baptist church. The church of which God has let me be pastor for 22 years this February reached a goal in our financial giving this past year. We close our year out in August, just for report's sake. But for the first time in the history of the church, we went over $100,000 in our tithes and offerings, and approximately 60% of that $101,000 went to the spread of the gospel and the support of young preachers who are seeking to educate themselves and get ready to really spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I am proud and thankful. I'm sorry that we didn't do more, but I am thankful for our hens that have sat on the nest and for our men that have been faithful. We can make lots of improvements, and we hope to, till we get to heaven, and that'll be the last improvement we'll ever be able to make. But we hope to keep working and serving the Lord. And that brings me to my subject. I want to preach to you this morning, bring you some thoughts about my church. My church. I'd like to say, first of all, that my church, and when I speak of my church, I'm speaking of it not as something I own, but as something I'm a part of. When I speak of my country, it isn't that I have a country or own a country, but I'm part of a country that I love dearly. And when we come to talk about the church, I like to think of it as my church, where I'm a member. And I believe that every Baptist ought to think about their church as being my church, a part of it. I do not hesitate to say this morning that it is the greatest thing in my life, that I love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ by the grace of God more than I have any love for anything or anybody other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe every member ought to. I love my wife dearly, but she has to take second place to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love my children, God has given to me and my wife, but I take sides with my church against my children if I have to, and against my wife if I have to, and I have had to in days that are past and gone. Thank God I don't have to anymore, but there's a time that I had to be true to the Lord God of heaven. And so this morning, I'd just like to read one verse of Scripture, a very familiar verse of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 27, where the Spirit of God said through the Apostle Paul, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Ye are the body of Christ, speaking of the New Testament church at Corinth. Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And that's true today with each one of us who hold our membership in a New Testament church. We're members in particular. particular members. They're not all the same. They're not all the same. But we're all members, that is, of the independent church of our Lord. The local church, now, is what we're talking about. The church at Corinth was local. Anybody, Brother Kirkman said a little while ago that any dumb cluck ought to understand that. And I whispered to the one of our members that was sitting beside me, I said, "Oh, it takes a quickened cluck to understand that. Not a dumb cluck, but a quickened cluck to understand the truth concerning the church of the Lord Jesus Christ." So as we think about this, I believe that the Bible teaches us, and experience teaches us, observation teaches us, that there are perhaps four kinds of religious people in the world. The Jews, Baptist, Catholic, and Protestant. That pretty well covers the whole thing, you know. As far as religion and as far as Christianity as a whole is thought of. I'd like to say also concerning my church, there'll be about 3 points that we'd like to try to cover, and it'll be under these headings. First of all, what my church is not. I think it's always good to look into the truth and look at it from the opposite standpoint. We can see what it is not. Now, I'm talking about my church. If you don't have a church like my church, I feel sorry for you. See, that's the whole thing. If you don't have a church, I believe everybody ought to have a church like my church. I do that. I love the church. I respect the body of Christ wherever it is, the body of Christ, the local body of Christ. I respect it. I don't respect an invisible universal body. Have no respect or time for it whatsoever. And so what my church is not, what my church is, and what my church offers. And I believe that will pretty well head up the truth of the New Testament church. We'd like to say now that the name Baptist is the only God-given name for Christianity that there is in the Bible, or that there for a church name, or for a religious name. And somebody says, "Now, preacher, wait a minute. Why we talk about Christendom and we talk about Christians?" And we do that. But the word Christian was not given of God. If you read in the book of Acts, there were Baptists and there were New Testament churches before they were called Christians. And so therefore, they were called Christians first at Antioch, the Bible said. But this name did not come from God. This name was given to the New Testament church people at Antioch because of their Christ-like character that they had looked upon. Now, I believe that all Baptists ought to be Christians. I believe that, and I believe the world ought to recognize that. And the world ought to be able to say about every Baptist church member that that person is a Christian. They are Christ-like. The character of Christ is manifest in their life. So now, first of all, let us discuss for a few moments what my church is not. What it is not. And number one, my church, and when I speak of my church, I'm speaking about the one that I'm a member of now, that I'm a pastor of now, the Grace Baptist Church in Warren, Michigan. If I were a member of this church, I would have the same thing to say, you see. Now, first of all, my church is not man-made. That's the first thing. My church, I feel sorry. Actually, my heart goes out for men and women today who have been deceived concerning the church, that have a man-made institution. It originated. Many churches, I used to say in my ministry when I was younger and before I learned better, that there was only one church. Well, I found out that the Bible taught that there were many churches. And then so many today try to, what they're trying to get over is the truth that God only possesses one kind of church. But there are many churches.
I tell you, the Methodist congregation is a church. The Presbyterian congregation is a church. It is an assembly. But it is not the kind of church that Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Sure, they are called out assembly, but they're not the Lord's assembly. They do not have the Lord's authority, and therefore cannot serve the Master as he commands in the Word of God. So my church is not man-made. It doesn't have a man for its head. The New Testament church originated by the Lord Jesus Christ during the days of his personal ministry. And since that day, there has never been a time in the history of this world where that kind of church did not exist. And I believe today that the church of which I'm a member and pastor is the kind of church that the first church of Jerusalem was, that it in its government, in its doctrine, and in its practices. And this is what we mean when we say that our church is not man-made. I tell you something else about my church. It is not universal, and it is not invisible. I believe that this is one of the most destructive teachings concerning truth, and that has deceived more people than any other, or perhaps, doctrine that has ever been in the world. That is pointing out the fact, and men and women by the thousands believe that all that is needed in order to be in a great big world church or a universal church or an invisible church is to just get saved by the grace of God and the Spirit of God, they say, in the work of salvation, that we get baptized by the Holy Ghost and become a member of the invisible church. Now, I say that's a lie. And God, or Satan, has brought that lie into the world. And the alarming thing about it today, my friend, is not that Methodists believe this. And it isn't that the Presbyterians believe this. And the alarming thing is not that many and most or all of the Protestant denominations believe this. But the alarming thing about it is today that many men and women who hold their names on true New Testament church rolls are getting this in their minds and are turning from the doctrine of the kind of church of Jesus Christ and are accepting the universal invisible church that is taught in this world today. I'm terribly afraid. As I said in the beginning, I'm proud of the Grace Baptist Church. I thank God for it. There's a lot of things that we hope to improve upon by the grace of God. But I'm terribly afraid that we have some members in our church today that are my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that are, we're members of the same body. And I'm terribly afraid that they're leaning hard toward the invisible universal church. It's a doctrine of the devil. It'll rob men and women of rewards and blessings and true service to God, as I'll try to show you before that we're finished. So it isn't man-made. It isn't universal or invisible. And let me say this. It's blood-bought. The church of the Lord Jesus. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary, he not only bought the franchise for the souls of men, but, my friend, when he died upon the cross of Calvary, he also purchased the church of the living God and all the ranks of the church of the living God. He purchased it upon Calvary. And men do not have a right to organize another kind of a church body because the rights belong to the Son of God and the church belongs to the Son of God. He purchased it with his own precious blood. Acts said that he did. And so, therefore, today, the church of which I'm a member is not universal. And it's not man-made. The Bible teaches that there is more to a New Testament church than being called out. You also have to be called in to be in the New Testament church. Called out and called in. I tell you, you know who believes, and the most of the people that believe in the universal, invisible church? It'll be people who do not believe in the doctrines of grace or It will be people who have gone to seed on the doctrines of grace, that don't believe. Now, what I'm saying is they will not believe that God makes a choice. And then there are others who seem to be so sound on the doctrines of grace that do preach and teach that that God does choose and God does elect men unto salvation, but they leave it there. Beloved, I believe this Bible says and teaches that not only God chooses and predestines unto salvation, but He also chooses and predestines. He calls out His people, and when He has called them out of this world in salvation to Christ, He also calls them in to the church of the living God, that He elects them to salvation, and He also chooses them to be members of His church. Just like it is. And this 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians teaches that. I didn't have a thing to do with putting this little finger right where it is. And I didn't have a thing to do with the little finger to start with. Now that you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it likens the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to the natural body, and it plainly says that God hath placed the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. So, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is called out and called in. It isn't a matter of making a choice. It isn't a matter of Billy Graham's kind of evangelism, of uniting with the church of your choice. Now, I choose to be a Baptist, but I do so just like I choose to be saved. I choose to be saved. But I choose to be saved because the Lord chose me to be saved. And I choose to be a Baptist because God chose me to be a Baptist. And God Almighty, through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, is the only one that can make Baptists out of depraved human beings. So it's a special privilege. I count it an honor to be a Baptist today. I like to get people to talking about me and advertising me as a peculiar kind of a fellow. Yeah, I do, and a peculiar kind of a church. All right? Now, the true church, according to the teachings, the true teachings, must have about three things in order to qualify to be the kind of church that Jesus Christ organized. And we just give you these hurriedly, and we'll pass on. You know, they must have the right founder, or the right head. It must be in the right place, and it must be in the right time. At the right time. This is an absolute must in order for a church to be a true church. Anything that started on the day of Pentecost or since the day of Pentecost is not the kind of church that Jesus Christ built. I'm talking about as far as the first church was concerned. And the two churches today, in New Testament churches, of course, they have come down. And I believe in church authority myself. You can believe what you want to. But I believe in church succession. You can believe what you want to. Somebody said you can't take the history books and prove it. I can take the history book and prove it. Because God said so in the Word of God, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that's all the history I need to prove that the Lord began the church in Jerusalem in the days of His personal ministry, and that it has continued down to this good hour. Now, you can look in all the books you want to, and you can get close to that and prove it by the books, well and good, but don't discredit this book if you can't prove it by the books of men. The thing that I'm saying now is that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Catholic Church began in Rome in 590 by a man by the name of Gregory. Wrong time, wrong kind, wrong place. That's all you can say about it. That discredits it. Somebody said, need to look in it more thoroughly. I ask you why. I ask you why. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And Jesus prayed all night, called unto Him His disciples, and put all of them in the church. That's not what the book said. He prayed all night, called unto Him His disciples, and out of them His disciples. He chose 12, and 1 Corinthians 12:28 said He placed in the church first the apostles. So you see, there's that called out and called in. that had already been called out, but now he calls them in and he forms them together in a New Testament body, church body, if you please, and authorizes them and sends them out to do exactly what New Testament churches are doing today.
And we'll notice that if time permits, and if it doesn't, well, we'll preach up till eating time and go eat.
The Lutheran Church began by Martin Luther in Germany, 1520. Wrong time, wrong fellow, wrong place. That's what it amounts to. The Episcopal by Henry VIII in England, 1534. Wrong time, wrong fellow, and wrong place. You see, these are true. Well, the Presbyterian by Calvin in Europe, 1536. Again, wrong time, wrong fellow, and wrong place. The Congregational by Brown in England, 1580. Wrong time, wrong fellow, and wrong place. The Methodist by John Wesley in England, 1740. Wrong time, wrong fellow, and the wrong place. Then the Disciples by Alexander Campbell, and they don't know what they want to be yet. They haven't made up their mind whether what they want to be yet or not. They changed their name two or three times. Started out the Disciples of Christ and then Campbellites. And you say, I don't know. They don't call themselves. I saw a church sign one time said Campbellite. I passed it in a few more years, and it said Church of Christ. They'd gotten promoted. But God said here, and we have as far as the record is concerned, that this church began in the United States of America in 1827. Wrong fella, wrong time, wrong place. The Mormons by Joe Smith in the USA in the 1800s. Wrong time, wrong fellow in the wrong place. The Christian Science by Mary Eddy in USA in 1884. Wrong time, the wrong hen, the wrong place. Right? Why, sure that's so, as far as the teachings of the Word of God is so. The Nazarenes by S.F. Breeze in the USA in 1835. The Seventh-day Adventist by William Miller, USA, 1843, and since that time, a whole string of offspring Baptists that can never qualify. Now, that's what we have. And so I'm saying you that my church is not kin to any of these. And my church is not a Protestant church from the Catholic Church or any of the rest of them. The New Testament church did not protest and come out of Roman Catholicism. And if you were here today and just been saved and a member of a Baptist church, don't let anybody tell you you are a Protestant. My church is not a Protestant church. The truth of the matter is that the Roman Catholic Church is a Protestant people. She protested and began to be in error and came from Baptist churches that erred and turned away from the truth. So today, the Lord has preserved his true churches, thank God, till this present time, and he shall until the morning of the glorious resurrection when Christ shall come after his bride. Well, I'll tell you something else, and I'm getting ahead of the hounds when I begin talking about that. But let me tell you, did you know today that my church is not a civic organization? It does more to make good citizens than anything in the world. I tell you what, my beloved, if a person is a good Baptist, they'll be a good citizen. You know that? Well, I said, well, now, we got to get us a ring. And in doing so, we'll be better citizens. I'll tell you, it will not improve upon your citizenship. You be what Brother Fisher preached this morning. Be a child of God and faithful to a New Testament church, and you'll support the laws of the land and back them to the glory of God. And the Bible teaches that. So I'm saying it isn't a civic organization. It just isn't. Our citizenship is in heaven. The Bible teaches us that. Many look upon the church. I was talking to a man, in fact, several men, and I've had a little trouble with these lodges through the years, because I don't like them. I just don't like them. And I say to you this day, if you're a member of a lodge, you can't be a good Baptist and a good lodge member. You can't do it to save your life. If you'll be a good Baptist, you'll deny the lodge, come out of it, and denounce it. Why, tell me you can be a good Baptist and be taught not to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you, who else is going to get us audience before God? I'm saying to you today, my friend, I've talked to men that said, now, preacher, I'd get after him. Had a man one time who was a Sunday school teacher at one of the churches down south, and I got after him. He said, now, preacher, he said, it never interferes with my church. And I said, well, I hope it does. So I missed this brother one Wednesday night. And I said, where's brother so-and-so? And he said, well, I don't know. He said, they're having a lodge meeting over at Bardwell. And I couldn't hardly wait to dismiss. And so we dismissed, and I made a beeline for the high school over in Bardwell. And I drove around till I found this brother's car. And I couldn't hardly wait to tell him about it. Now, the thing that I'm pointing out to you tonight, and I talked to him about this, and he said, now, I said, don't you know you're a member of the church? Oh, yeah, he said, I know I'm a member of the church, but I belong to the lodge. And you'll find out that the rest of them do, too. You let that sink in a little bit. They're a member of the church, but they belong to the lodge. They belong to this thing, men and women, a lot of members of Baptist churches today. They're a member of the church, but they belong to something else. They don't really belong to the church. I preached last night, on prayer. And I made this statement, and I make it today. I'm neither Republican nor Democrat. I'm a Baptist. But ask me what I am. I'm a Baptist. And I tell you today, we need to get more involved and to get more burdens and more concern about fulfilling the duties and the responsibilities and the blessings of being a Baptist than we do in the politics of this world, and wondering if we're going to have a famine, if things are going to fold up. I'll tell you, beloved, we're not for long in this world anyway, and I can tell you one day she is going to fold up, and the only thing that is going to come out victorious and victorious is the church of the living God. God has given her the victory, so I want to be a part of that church. Now, my church is not all these things. It's not an object of charity. How about that? Oh, somebody said, I always give so much to church because I love charity. Object of charity. People have garage sales, they have pie suppers, they have bake sales, they have quilting parties, and everything else. I used to, before I started serving God, my wife belonged to another denomination. I guess Baptists would stoop that low too. But they came around one day and wanted to know how many old hens we was going to give to support the preacher. Now, the thing I'm pointing out to you, my friend, the church of the living God is the highest and most honorable thing or organization that is in this world, and God has not left her support and her financial standing with the whims and fancies of men, but He's ordained her way of salvation. He's ordained her baptism. He's ordained her way to observe the Lord's Supper and the elements to use. He has also ordained and appointed how that a church is to be supported and how she's supposed to preach the gospel. And it is by and only by the tithes and offerings of that church of which individual is a member. I'm not against you filling those boxes full today. You do that because it'll redound to the honor and glory of this church. But the thing that I'm saying today, that God has not left our supporting the church up to ourselves. He ordained tithing, and then all over that is an offering, and no person has made an offering until they first pay their debts. If you don't believe that, you go down to the store. If you have a little account at Sears and Roebuck and go down, you owe them $300 or $400 or $500 or $1,000 and say, I want to come down and make you a little gift today. They'll want to know how about your account. Telegram, not to a radio program. And these fellows are traitors that get up over the radio and television and encourage you to bring your tithes or send it to them. My friend, that is not tithing. The Church of the Living God is the dispenser of truth, and it is the dispenser of money. The Church of the Living God. And so today, my church is not an object of charity. Now, it's a divine institution. I got 5 minutes to bring about 15 points. My church is a divine institution. It's of divine origins. It has Jesus Christ for its head. We used to have a little bald-headed fellow, Brother Wilson, his name was Price, that used to be a missionary down in West Kentucky. And oh, he did love the Church of the Living God. And he liked to get up and he liked to talk about the church. He said one day, and I never have forgotten it from a boy, he said, I tell you, he said, the Lord's kind of church is the only church that has a living head. Every other church has a dead head for their head. Now you think about that, and he's right. Do you rather have a dead head or a living head? You see what God is saying? My church has a living head. Our headquarters is heaven. That's where the head, and he operates from there. And so, not only that, but my church is a local, independent democracy. There isn't anything any greater in this world than my church. There isn't anything in this world has any authority over my church. None. Not even Baptist Faith Missions. You know, I said that because people are saying all over the world that we try to lord it over churches. We do no such a thing. And the day that any mission tries to lord it over the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, right then and there, I am no longer affiliated. That's the reason I left the Southern Baptist Convention. They won't tell me when to have meetings and when to pray and when to give the invitation and all that. And I just didn't like that. I don't believe it's right. So I say to him, I tell you something else. The Church of the Living God, a New Testament church, cannot belong to anything and retain its democracy. It is independent. But we are not independent from the standpoint that we're sitting out here in the world like a frog on a log. You know, people talk about being independent, and some Baptists are so independent that they're independent of the rest of the membership. They're so independent that they're independent of the pastor, and they're independent of the Holy Spirit, and they're independent of the Word of God. My friend, we're dependent. We're dependent upon God, dependent upon the Holy Spirit, dependent upon the Word of God, dependent upon our divine superintendent, who is the Spirit of God. And God would have members and pastor to cooperate together, he being the leader and they being the followers. God has ordained such. And the man or woman who gets so independent that they don't want to follow God's ordained way are too independent. So my church is a democracy. It has just as much right to exclude people as it does to receive them. And this is a forgotten doctrine, but I just wanted to mention that. I tell you something else. My church is a custodian of all truth. We have all there is. My church does. Any New Testament church has all the truth there are. Somebody said, well, now, preacher, I tell you, I belong to a church, and I know we don't preach all the truth, but we do have the truth concerning salvation. I tell you, why just have the truth concerning salvation when you can have all the truth? The Lord God of heaven gave to the church the Holy Bible. It belongs to the church. It's a church's book, and it'll make Baptists. The Bible will not only get people saved by the Spirit of God, it'll make Baptists. Anybody that believes the Bible will be a Baptist. The Bible will do it. The Holy Spirit will do it. So our church has all the truth. All the truth. We had a family of five unite with our church last night, become a part of us. And I'll tell you, that was a beautiful sight to see a man, head of his house, take the lead and see his wife and three children follow him. They belong to a Baptist church. In fact,
to a First Baptist church.
But they practiced alien immersion and open communion. You say, did you take them? Well, sure. I asked the church to authorize me to baptize them. Because I believe the kind of church that Jesus Christ built and sustained to this good hour does not practice alien immersion and open Lord's Supper. And I'm not going to give them the satisfaction of approving of it. I don't believe. I've had to sweat a little, you know, along that line. But I love the church. That's what I'm talking about. God has given me a love. So we have all the truth. Not only is that so, but it's 12 o'clock. My church is a lighthouse to a sin darkened world. A person cannot come to the services of Grace Baptist Church without hearing how to be saved. And not only that, we're supposed to let the light shine out throughout the city and throughout the world. The church is a lighthouse. Let your light so shine, Jesus said. My church is a lighthouse. Yes, it is. The Bible teaches that. Let me mention these other things hurriedly. What my church offers. My church has something to offer. Every once in a while, some of our people think it doesn't. So we don't have anything to offer. You know, the thing that people today are terribly worried about is they don't have anything to offer to young people. I tell you what, our church has everything to offer them they need. It's yours. Now, we don't have a dance on Saturday night. And we don't have bingo parties. And we don't have an entertainment program. But I tell you what the youth needs today is the same thing the youth needed in Jesus' day. Salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Regeneration, being born again, and then an evidence that they have repented of their sins and buried their old life and rise in a New Testament church baptismal service to walk in a new life. I tell you another thing that we're growing today in many Baptist churches. They have two churches. They have a youth church and an old folks church. I don't believe in it. I don't read anything in it in the Word of God. Now, I'm not against the young people of our church. We do have our youth revivals, and we do have our youth fellowship, and I'm for that. But the thing that I'm pointing out to you today is that all that a young person, a boy, girl, needs to hold them and their lives for the glory of God is the same thing we old roosters need. The preaching of the Word of God, the love of Jesus in our hearts, and the church of the living God, who gives over to entertainment, will lose their youth for Christ. Said, well, we won't save too many. But I'll tell you what we do. The ones we save will really be saved. And that's what I'm interested in. So we have everlasting salvation. We preach it. Everlasting salvation. We have a baptism that pleases God and is just about good anywhere you want to use it. Even the Camelites will take it. Now, they won't want to, but if you just stay pat, they'll take it. Then I'm not going to be baptized. They'll take it. Baptism. Baptism is an important work. And the Church of the Living God can baptize people that God will accept and that will put you into the Church of the Living God. Our church has that to offer. You see what I'm talking about? Not only that, but it has the best and highest fellowship in this earth to offer its membership. It makes me sick for a Baptist to say, my church don't have anything to offer. Don't have anything to offer. Listen, such services as this, such services as regular church services, you can't improve on that anywhere. Where the Word of God is preached and taught. The most of the time, say, well, now, after church tonight, we're going to have fellowship. That means we're going to fill our bellies. You need some fellowship today, and the average person thinks you're going to have church and dressing or something. And I'm for church and dressing. You can well see.
But the thing that I'm pointing out is that fellowship around the Word of God, around the Word of God, what a joy it is. And then not only that, but we have the greatest opportunities to offer to people. My church does. Opportunities to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians 3:21, unto Amen. Him be glory in the church. And boy, that's what I tell you. Now, in closing, it offers a place to work where your service, or one service, or my service will not be rejected. The church, my church. As Brother Fisher talks in the first message, God recognizes the work of his people through his church. And I believe when he said, unto him be glory in the church, it means to praise and honor him in the church. I don't believe you can do it anywhere else. I certainly don't. I preach and teach that. I believe there's going to be a day, one day, of work burning. Now, I don't mean by that that everybody that's in the church, that their work is going to be accepted, because 1 Corinthians 3 tells us a whole bunch of them are going to be burned up, and they were all members of this church at Corinth. And said, a lot of your works, is because they were flesh, they were not for the glory of God. And then this last thought, it has the highest position on earth to offer. Listen, one of these days, the trump of God is going to sound. She's going to all be over. You know what's going to happen? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come yonder and be there. And he's going to bid his people come home. And out of that New Testament church, I may be getting on somebody's toes, but I'm talking about my church now. I believe out of the church of which I'm a member and out of which I'm a pastor will come people that will make up the bride of the Holy Spirit of Christ. Amen. I'm not satisfied with going to heaven. I hope God will count me faithful to the church of the Lord Jesus. And when he picks out his bride and she dresses up in the righteous acts of the saints of God, that wedding day comes, I hope God will grant to me, as being a faithful Baptist, to walk with him twice.
Amen. 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 Amen.